Blog Talk Radio.
Rapture-centric church where Jesus Christ is our pastor
And we are a body of people gathering who love his appearing. Everybody that's a part of Rapture-Centric Church is a leader in God's kingdom. I am a friendly bouncer. God wanted order in his church, so he has people hosting. So I'm a bouncer tonight. Tomorrow night, if we're here, will be Carol. And let's see, if we're here, the next night will be Jerry. We are just loving the Lord till he gets here. I have a crazy summer schedule with kids and activities, and so I can't always be at the computer. But I'll be calling in every night as I can, and as long as we're here. But see, we're loosely planning this thing because we don't plan on being here, church. We are leaving. And we can downsize to one show. We don't have a morning show anymore. This morning was our last morning. Thank you, lovely Carol. But we don't want to miss out on some of the wonderful gifts that people have in this church. So Carol, as we have all noticed, is a wonderful Bible teacher. And she is going to offer us, if you want to join on Skype, a Bible study. She'll get that together next week if we're here, okay? And so if you're someone that really wants to get into the Word or needs to get into the Word or just enjoys fellowshipping in the Word and doing, you know, studies, you can join a Skype Bible study where we could, it'll be just like being it on the radio. But anyway, the Rapture-Centric Church format is designed for this. For the bride to call in and to share what the Lord is doing with you in this hour, and for you to show your groom off, and for your groom to show you off. So I encourage everybody to call in. Judy here, and I'm going to show off what he's done today. I have a story to tell, but I want to welcome Jerry. Welcome, Jerry.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Judy.
I'm glad you could make it. I know you're a busy dad with three girls in the summertime, so that you're able to take this time to be with us is very wonderful. So thanks for being here, and I'm glad you could make it. And hello, Joe. Hi, Jojo.
Hi, Juju. Hi, Jerry. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
guys. You know, we're not going to be here, but Joe's only going to be with us. He's got some places he has to fly to. So I'm really glad he's here. Every day he's here, I'm going to just be happy because when he's out and about doing some things this summer, should we be here, we won't have him around as much. So appreciate him while he's here. Welcome, Tawna. Tawna's with us. Hi, Tawna. Is that my phone or?
I'm not here.
I'm on the walkie-talkie, so can you guys hear Tawna, or is it my stupid phone?
I hear it just a tiny bit.
Yes, Tawna, we're not hearing you. Welcome, Tawna and Keith. Welcome, our beloved Keith.
Hi. Can you hear me? There's a big old truck by me. Can you hear me?
You can hear you, Tawna. Hey, everybody. Hey, Keith. Hey, Jerry. How's it going?
So we're going to pray for Tawna. Oh, okay, never mind. Okay, let me welcome in the chat room. Let me welcome Lala, otherwise known as Cake. And thank you, Cake, for giving me all this beautiful music we're playing. She has really good taste in music, so thank you. And Carol, welcome, Carol. And Gemma, welcome. And three guests, and John, and Chris Slaughter, and Alana, and Rojo, and Jerry, and Rhea. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad. It's really great to get together and to have one last show together. Hint, hint, Jesus. Last show. Hint, hint. Tawna's call dropped. Wait, she's coming back in. Maybe she's in a better... Hi, Tawna. You're back on. Are you able to talk?
Hey, can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
There's a big old truck. I'm sitting outside work because I'm Carlos, so I'm just kind of chilling at work. But, yeah, hi, all. I love you all.
Hi, Tawna. Hey, Tawna. What do you mean you're Carlos, Tawna? What were you saying, Tawna, about the car? What?
Oh, I said I'm Carlos right now, so I'm chilling at work.
Gotcha.
So I'm just sitting outside, and there's a big old delivery truck that's, like, trying to block my hearing of you all and your hearing of me.
Yeah.
And love you, Jesus Christ. And we want.
Hello? Are you guys hearing Tana, or is it my phone?
No, it's Tana.
No, I'm not hearing her. I think she got cut out.
Okay. She's just... She's
what?
She's,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
can you hear me?
Well, Tana, well, we couldn't. We started to, and then we couldn't hear you again.
Oh. So I won my softball game yesterday, if anyone wants to know.
I
cool.
do. I want to... Oh, awesome. What was the score?
I don't really know, because usually when we start to keep track of score, because we were like, we only won 3 games last year, so we're not necessarily the best team, but we won one more than last year, so that was good, or the year before, I should say. But we don't. Once we start to keep track, we think we're doing well and we're ahead, and then we start losing, because it's kind of pride comes before fall. So now we just, like, who cares what the score is? The score is 0-0. So, but I think we ended up winning by, like, 18-4 or something like that.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a good
game. Yeah. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. And Jesus helped me. I always pray. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Thomas.
I was going to say, I have a prayer. You know, Jesus always helps me. I do have a praise report. I always pray before the game for the Lord to help me. Every time I'm at bat, I always pray the Lord to help me, and I can do all things through Christ that gives me strength. And I did get a hit. I struck out. I got walked, but I scored 2 runs. But this is the amazing thing. I'm catcher, and the ball, someone was coming, running towards me at home, and someone from the outfield threw the ball towards me, and normally they whale the ball at, you know, home plate for the catcher to try and catch. Well, I'm like, someone started throwing the ball towards me. I'm like, oh, no, Lord, help me. And so they threw it. Usually the third baseman runs in or the first baseman run in to catch those balls, but they weren't. So I'm like, okay, this is all me, you and I, Lord. I caught it, and the guy was sliding under me, and I, like, reached my glove down with the ball and tagged him, and he was out. It was, like, an amazing play that all my team was, like, so happy for me. But, you know, Jesus was helping me the whole time. It's kind of like the ball kind of slowed down just enough for me to catch it, and I was able to tag the guy out. So, thank you, Jesus.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so glory to God.
Rojo in chat said maybe Tom will go poop when playing softball.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of what it's going to have to be, you know. I prayed before then, but that would be an amazing testimony, pooping in softball.
Plucked up right off the field. That'd be great.
Yes. So who else
cool.
Be so welcome?
Well, gosh, everybody, can you guys hear me okay? I'm in the kitchen cooking. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I had to get something on the grill, and then I'll be sitting back down again. Okay, well, you know, the Lord knew in this last hour before he comes to retrieve his bride that there was going to be a lot of brides that were going to be having a lot of experiences with him. So he wants you to share it because, see, he's pouring out his spirit and he's letting people know. So I'm sure people are going to be calling in and telling us what the Lord is doing with them each and every day. It's exciting to wake up to another day of a supernatural God doing supernatural things within you. And I'll share first. And if you're in the chat room, feel free to call in or share. We really want to hear it. Our pastor's excited. And I'm gonna do a little bit of showing off of the Lord. But we have Jerry and Joe and Tana and Keith on the line, so I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to share too as well, like in addition to that was a beautiful thing that God did at the softball game. I mean, he gave Tana a good play. That's cool. And I think it'd be really fun to see her just pooping right off the field, you know, like off third base, boom, she like lifts up and bye-bye. Anyway, welcome Stacy to the chat room. She got in here. I see you. I'm so glad you're here, Stacy. And Nick. We're so glad you're here, Nick. Okay. You guys want to hear my story today?
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Definitely.
I don't like gradient. I really don't. I'm staring at the wall, and I have to have someone say, uh-huh. Even if it's just...
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure,
speaking
let's
up,
hear
right?
It.
Very thin, quiet. Acting weird.
Okay. So here's the thing. So, you know, we have to plan summer with kids and do things because that's what you do in the summer, okay? But, like, none of us want to be here. It's really cute. And, like, none of the kids do either, which is so unusual because this time last summer, we were already off at Waterworld. And, you know, we leave early in the morning. We didn't get home until late at night. I mean, we were just, it was just action-packed fun, okay? But now I'm comparing this summer to last summer. And we're doing the things that you do in the summer to have fun, okay? But nobody, we feel like zombies. We're like, you know, we're doing what we have to do, but it's like none of us, we all want to be with Jesus because Jesus has enlightened us. He's enlightened the children in me, you know, about our future. So can you guys still hear me?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
So the best way to describe it is this. Yes, we had a fun day. We went to the arcade. We, you know, miniature golf, bumper boats. We went to the swimming pool. We went, you know, we did things that everyone says, yippee, it's fun. But I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's so funny. I say, God, are you making us miserable? Like, this is part of your plan, isn't it? He's like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, you're, this is so bipolar. I mean, you're not kidding. Like, I am completely joyful in the Lord. Okay, I love a beautiful sunny day. But I'm completely miserable that I'm still here. How is this possible to live like this? Well, I'm living like it, and not only me, I bet a lot of you are too, and our children are, okay? My sister's three kids and my son. We kind of feel like the best way to describe it is like zombies. Like, I don't know. That's probably a bad word because it's like zombies don't have any good in them. But, like, we're just like the walking dead. We're, like, doing – it almost feels like we're going through the motions. It doesn't feel like it's real. Because the Lord has given us such revelation on where we're going. You know, we didn't have this revelation this time last summer. He didn't fall on my son. He didn't announce it to – he didn't do what he did, at least to our family. I know some people have been doing this for a couple years. I wouldn't survive it. He's coming this year. He has to come. He doesn't lie. He's coming. But the thing is, like, you can't live long in this condition, okay? You can't. This is not – because you're not designed to. The Lord's coming. And he gives us his grace each day. And so – yes, it's been a joyful day in the Lord, but do we want to be here? No. Does that make sense, anybody?
Right.
Am I making sense?
Totally.
And we have to rebuke all the chemicals, okay? I think I told you guys yesterday we were at the beach all day, okay? And it was beautiful. We were in the water, actually in the water, like at the beach because it was such a hot, beautiful day. And,
wow.
My son went underwater and stuff like that and got sand in his eyes and he got weird rashes, and so did I. Like, we've been going to the beach for years, okay? Like, the beach by this house where we live now. And we're like, this must be radiation junk. And we had weird rashes and itches, and my son's eye was all puffy and swollen, and we just rebuked it. And we were like, this must be toxins. My sister was like, ew, gross. You guys are gross.
Wow.
We all had rashes, except she didn't get one. But she didn't go in the water. She had her tennis shoes on. And she was staying on the walking in the sand. We all were barefoot, and we were in the water, you know. So, but we just rebuked it. We said we just command God's healing until we get here. This stuff won't touch us. And this stuff went away. It did go away, and that's cool. But it was kind of creepy. But I was like, wait a minute. We're not going to suffer until we get out of this place. I rebuke these rashes and this gross stuff that's on us. And anyway... so I want to read to you a few people. Cakes and Cuddles there in the Lala said she saw a flash of light yesterday. It was awesome. She thinks it was an angel. Beth, thank you for sharing that, Kate. Thank you for sharing. You know, Katie saw the same thing. She saw an outline and a flash of light at the graveyard, and she knew that was an angel. I myself see them quite a bit, these flashes. I know they're angels. They're big. I even saw a purple one on my wall. It was a purple, like, stained glass, something or other. I don't know if it was an angel or just God flirting, like, big time. But that was amazing. That was a while back. I see those flashes, too. I think people on the line have. It's exciting. But there's so much angelic activity, see, because we're about to leave.
Yep.
And so you just, they're everywhere. They're protecting us from horrible stuff that's going on right now. Because I'm telling you, the chemtrails are so low in Northern California here. I'm at the tip of Northern Cal here. You guys, I'm telling you, I can practically see the pilot, okay, what he's wearing. I mean, it's that low. And that's barium and aluminum. We know what's in that. I mean, these things are designed to make you sick. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. I feel sluggish. I think my energy's not, but we are rebuking it. We're like, you know what? This isn't going to touch us until we leave. So I was taking authority over it yesterday, and I did it again today. It was cool. I feel the Lord in that, you know. We don't have to deal with that. You know, we're the elite, okay? So we're the elite, and you're not going to touch us. So, but anyway, you guys, it's exciting. I just wanted to share that. That was my flirt with God, and God affirmed to me. I said, you're making me miserable and happy at the same time. You've made me completely bipolar, like for real, like a walking zombie. And he's like, yeah. See, because up to this time, I've been able to, like, pretty much sit in bed, but the Lord said it's time to go out, get the kids out, and do fun stuff. And I'm like, this is so weird. It's such an act. And the Lord let me see the looks on people's faces today. We went to In-N-Out Burger, and he said, look at the people. And I did. And everybody had, like, an empty look in their face. He was showing me all creation is suffering right now. All creation is groaning, and people don't even know why they're depressed, you know. They're just depressed because, see, the Lord's coming, and evil is encroaching. And he let me see the faces, and it was like I was in a dream. I had to sit outside. I'm like, you guys, let's sit outside. I just couldn't look at any more people in and out. Everybody, he let me see. Now, they probably thought they looked good. I'm not saying anyone looked ugly, okay, but the Lord let me see deep. When I was looking at people's faces, he let me see the emptiness, okay? Not everybody had it. I'm sure some of the people in there were Christians because I didn't see it on everyone. But I saw a spirit on people, and it was one of misery. And it's going to be way worse than the trip, but he let me see it. And he's letting me feel it, too. See, he's letting me feel the misery of not wanting to be here, okay? So, but I have the joy of the Lord. So it's a really, it's a condition that the Lord is giving you guys. We really are bipolar until he gets here. We're completely satisfied in him, but only in him. Like, the things that used to give me joy, like, I'm a bigger kid than all the kids, okay? They know me. Like, I'll be the first one to jump in the pool and push everybody in, and I'm just not that person anymore. I'm, like, I'm like just going through the motions, and the kids see it too, you know? But they don't really care because they're kind of the same way. We're like, okay, let's go get a milkshake. Okay, let's go jump off the diving board, you know?
Wasting time, yeah. It's like passing time, you know, just wasting the time, you know?
Yeah.
I see God shows me the people of the world all the time. He always is showing me that. And that's why I say this. I always see such darkness, unhappiness, just miserable people all the time. Everywhere I go, these people are just so unhappy. They don't care. They're not non-loving. He always shows me how they don't bear fruit. They don't care when they see people. They're not happy. They don't want to help them. They're just slugging along. It's just, it sucks. And like, that's why we got to get out of here, because we're the only ones on the happy train, you know, ready to go.
Yeah. Hey, Katie came into the chat room. Katie, we're so glad you're here, too.
Hey. Yay.
You're ready to hop on that train. You're not kidding. And Lala said, how many kids do you have? Okay, I have one kid, okay? But I am the happy mom. Everybody's calling me now. It's like summertime, and everybody knows I take everyone's kids, and I just do fun stuff with them. And so even though I only have one, my summer is usually filled with at least three or more kids, you know, and that's just what God's always done. It's different this year, though. I'm not having as many at the same time. I'm just, you know, the Lord's doing something different, but I'm still surrounded with kids. My sister has three, and I have one, and then, you know, we have other kids in the neighborhood that are kind of wondering, you know, what's up with the fun house? You know, are we going to Waterworld? Are we going to Six Flags? What are we doing, you know? And I'm like a zombie. I'm not planning on being here much of summer. Okay, I'm planning on leaving today. But we have a loose schedule. We have things planned up to, I had to make plans until August 17th. We are going to be in L.A. on the 17th, so I get to go see Tana. Tana doesn't even know that yet. But we are going to go to a wrestling event. But we're not going to be here for it. But like I said, you know, this is the first time I had to pull out the calendar and, like, okay, I guess we're here. So, you know, kids can't just sit around and do nothing all summer. We got to get out. But you guys, just be excited. We're leaving. And Katie's asking who's Cakes and Cuddles. That's Lala, Katie. That's Lala, and she's our great friend in chat. She's been here a while, and she talks about food all the time, okay? Anyway, Yeah, so that's my share. I'm done sharing. I'm a bride. I'm done. You should share now. Anyone call in and share. If you're on the line, please talk away. Let me let on 720.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah. Oh, that's Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Nick. Love you.
Hi, Nick.
Love you guys. Now that Judy's here and she can fill in the details, I want to tell about what happened to me, the amazing thing that happened to me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. We have the most amazing story to tell you guys. You're going to freak out when you hear this testimony. Okay. So, Nick, we have to tag team on this, okay?
Okay. So, you guys all remember when I, what was happening to me with my rent and how I basically was about to get kicked out of my house, and I put up my PayPal, and some people helped me out, but essentially what happened was I really wasn't able, when I went to write, I wrote my rent check, and I turned it in, and I didn't know that my rental company wouldn't accept personal checks. It had to be a certified bank check. I'd always paid with a card, and I had like something set up on the internet. So I didn't know that I couldn't pay with a personal check. And it was Memorial Day weekend, and I turned my rent in on a Thursday with a personal check. And because I wasn't able to use a personal check, they rejected the check. And because it was Memorial Day weekend, I didn't get the response back that they didn't accept my rent until Tuesday.
Wow.
So Tuesday carried me through to the next month. And when things go into collections, all sums owed need to be paid off. So essentially what happened was, in order for me to avoid the cops coming and locking my door, I all of a sudden had to pay the current month's rent right away and what I owed. And I didn't have that at that point. And I was freaking out, and you guys had been so great, and the people that helped me out, you know, really, really helped. So I didn't want to come on the air and bum everyone out and make the people feel like that helped me out, like they didn't make a difference or they didn't help me out. So I didn't say anything, and I didn't bring it up, and I kind of went with it.
Now here's where I jump in. Okay, so I'm like, well, we haven't heard from Nick. He must be back in his apartment. I can't wait to hear how it's going. So I call him up. He's like, I'm in my tent. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, I didn't want to call on the show and depress everybody because, like, they needed more money. And everybody helped me get money, and I feel really bad. But, yeah, they put the lock on my apartment, and my new roommate got himself locked out, and he has a dog, so he's sleeping in his truck, and I'm back in my tent, and I don't have the money. They wanted, like, double what he came up with because he needed first and last month's rent. He goes, I don't have the heart to ask RCC. They've given enough. And he was like, I just didn't have the heart to call in. I didn't want to depress anybody with this because, you know, we thought the Lord came through, and he did, but, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. Okay, so I was like, Nick, that is so sweet of you. Like, what a good heart you have to, like, not want to call in and depress us. I'm glad he didn't, honestly. I'm really glad he didn't, you know, because that would have been so, like, such a letdown. Okay, so basically, so I'm on the phone with him, and he's telling me the whole situation, how much they want. And it was, like, over, what, $3,000 or something, Nico? Is that what it was?
It was an absorbent amount. It was, like, $5,000, and I was $1,400 short.
Whoa.
So basically, he's all, Judy, I'm $1,400 short. I lost my place unless I can come up with it in 5 days. And he goes, and Nick was not even going to call me. I'm the one that called him. I'm like, what? I'm like, no way. And instantly when we were talking, like, after about 3 minutes, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, like he does, like an impression of me, he's not going to lose his place. He's going to get his place. And I was
and
like,
at
oh,
the same
Nick,
time, at the same time, because of all the events and what I learned from it, I kind of was just at peace with it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to pray on it. I can't let this get take over. Like, something's going to happen. I'm not going to stress out. I'm not going to harp on it. I just have to go with it and pray, and it's going to be okay. Something's going to happen. And that's when Judy called. And go ahead, Judy.
And then he was, like, so full of peace. Nick was like, Judy, you know what? It doesn't really matter. The Lord, if he wants me to get my place, I'm going to keep it. I've just been reading my Bible. I just have so much peace. I just trust him. And Nick was so much at peace that I was, like, so happy. And it was amazing. And then I was really glad he didn't call in RCC because, you know, that was like, we'd be so depressed. But then the Lord, behind the scenes, wanted to do something. So I remembered a beautiful sister in the Lord who had contacted me and said, Judy, I love RCC. I'm behind the scenes kind of a person, okay? She's only called in maybe this couple times. She's never in the chat room, but she's a part of us, you guys. There's a lot of people that are a part of us that just don't show up, but they're here, okay? They're here. We don't have like 10,000 listening, almost 15,000 listeners since January in the night show, and 10,000, almost 10,000 in the AM show, which is now.
Wow.
But the AM archives are staying up. So for everyone that has been on the AM archives, they're going to be up forever. So that's really cool. Okay, so, but anyway, this is someone who had told me that. And so Nick and I talked for quite a while, and I just knew somehow he was going to get the kit. It was 1,300, but I guess it was 14. So anyway, Nick and I talked some more, and at the end of our phone call, the Lord put that in my mind that this woman had said this a while back. She had said, Judy, if anyone ever needs anything, I just wanted to be able to give, you know. And so she just popped into my mind. So go ahead, Nick. Did you have anything to say?
No, go ahead. You can finish. And don't forget about how the number and your prayers and how you can never find anything.
Yeah, like, I was taking care of, okay, the bottom line is, like, I had her number on a piece of scratch paper, and my purse is a big joke. Since I become rapture-centric, I have, like, a big bag for a purse, and it's like I can't find anything in it, so my sister laughs because I'm like type zero. I don't do anything anymore since the Lord hit my son. So whenever we need something, my sister laughs, and my son, I dump out my purse on the entire floor, and I try to find things, okay? So my purse is like, you just can't find anything. I'm just so, like, I'm just not here. I've checked out, okay? I've checked out of this world. So the fact that I was able to find her number was a miracle, but it was in the bottom of my purse, okay? And it was like, it was faded out and everything on a piece of paper. And the Lord's like, call her and tell her. So I did. And I was like, it's a whole bunch of money, you know. He needs $1,300. I don't expect you, but I knew you had wanted to meet a need. And she's such a sweetheart. And she was like, well, I'm going to put $1,500 in his PayPal tonight. I was like, what?
Wow.
Oh, my God, he's going to be so happy. And
can you believe that?
I was like, and then she's like such a beautiful person. And I was so blessed by talking to her, and she's telling me about her life. And the whole thing was just a behind-the-scenes miracle, a perfect stranger. But, you know, she trusted, she doesn't know Nick. She never called Nick, but she trusted RCC. She trusted me.
Wow.
She's listened to videos. You know, the Lord has told her this is the real deal, you know, so.
Wow.
Yeah, honey. What? I can't. I'm in the middle of the story. What do you need? Okay.
True woman of the Lord. I mean, God has told me so many times that if I could show you how the visions he's given me, he always tells me the people that walk or talk, we'll see rewards beyond. I mean, God honors that among, you have no idea, he honors that among more than anything, people that really bear fruit and really walk their talk, you know, really back up, especially when they use their own hard-earned money. God just really, really rewards that more than anything. It's truly, like Jesus shows me, it's higher than most people will ever even recognize, and the rewards will be greater than they can imagine, because it truly shows someone that really is walking the walk of God in Christ. It's pretty amazing. Good for her. God bless her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it just brings me to tears. It's just so amazing.
It is amazing. It is truly amazing. And, you know, you may not be able to reward her back, but Jesus will more than she can imagine. Believe me, Jesus shows me rewards like this are like vast fields of reward that he gives people that truly do that, you know.
Amen. And you know what? I want to say that Nick is back in his place. But, I mean, look how beautiful God was. His new roommate got the door locked on him by the sheriff. So his new roommate, how long-suffering is his new roommate? He's living in his car with his dog, you know, and all their stuff is in the house for another. Nick, were you locked out of the house for, like, another 2 weeks or what? How long was it, buddy?
It was, like, another 8 days.
Whoa.
Yeah, Nick's crying right now. It's just, you guys, the Lord is so good. He takes care of his kids. I mean, he's back in his apartment, his roommate's there, and the Lord is doing this thing, and it's a beautiful story, and I'm really glad that, you know, we're able to share it today. We've been wanting to share it for, like, a week. But,
that's awesome. Praise the Lord. God is
praise
good.
God.
That is amazing. Amazing. Praise the Lord. And thank you, too. Angel that we don't know about, but praise the Lord. Thank you for your generosity as well.
If she's listening, just thank you so much. You really just turned my life around. It I just can't thank you enough.
Yeah, we've got there's people in RCC that, you know, there's Judy, I mean, if you think about, I mean, I want you to think about this. It's like, okay, so Nick had this huge miracle, right, that happened twice, right, because, like, he got the rent, and then he turned around and got more money like that. Like, God has done that for me for the last 15 months. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Every month, like, yeah, you sit down on the first. I go, okay, Lord, I have $1,300 in bills. I have no money coming in and no way of making money. And you know what? I know you're good for it. And every month, the miracles have been like that. I mean, I thought, oh, my gosh, I should be sharing this because I feel, like, so bad. It's like I'm seeing these miracles every month, and I just – not that I take it for granted. I just know God's good for it, you know. But, I mean, I just wanted to recognize God for that. He's done that for me for over a year now, every month. And some of those miracles have come from people in RCC, and they know who they are. I mean, it's – God has used people so greatly. It's beyond amazing.
Yeah, God is amazing. God is all the glory to God. And I just thank all the RCC angels that are, for everyone that RCC is helping, you know, that's amazing. Everyone, not just this woman, but there have been so many other angels that God has touched, RCC members that God has touched, you know, to give. Because we love each other, we care about each other, and we don't want anything bad to happen to one another. We don't want anyone to be homeless. We don't want anyone to be hungry, you know, because we're family, and we care about each other, and we love each other. So praise the Lord for putting us together.
Amen. And it shows how amazing that God knew what he was doing when he put this group of people together. You know, he knew. He knew what was going on.
Sure did.
And he always tells me, he's told me there's safety in numbers. You know, we got each other's back. You know, a lot of us didn't have any family. This is my real family. Rapture Centric Church, my sister too. Okay. My sister's like, you know, a lot of us, you know, when you become Rapture Centric, you lost your family, you know. Well, I already thought I was crazy anyway for Christ, so I never, but, you know, it's wonderful that we really are a family and we're leaving this place. We really are, you guys. I know. It's like, don't be discouraged, okay? We are leaving. He really is coming. Just hang in there. And we're going to continue to see miracles until he gets here. And, you know, he does all kinds of miracles. The biggest miracle to me is what he does in our heart inside of us. Okay, that's just huge. That he fills us with his hope and his love and his peace. And he tells us what he's doing. He doesn't keep us in the dark, okay? We don't understand everything completely yet, and we won't, but for the most part, he keeps you. He doesn't keep you in the dark. I mean, he told me today, I said, God, so you're making me miserable right now, right? So I don't have to feel bad about this. Like, I feel like I'm a walking zombie. And he's like, yeah, no, I did. I'm like, okay. You know what? And he's like, he doesn't want us to be too comfortable here because we're leaving. You know, this time last summer, you know, I wasn't like this, but I'm joyfully doing my duties with kids, okay? I'm joyfully enjoying the summer, but I'm not. I'm at the same time, I'm like, I don't want to be here. I'm dying. But God's created that condition in us, you guys. He's made us bipolar, if you will. I mean, I'm sorry, but it's a condition because we love his appearing. We know we don't belong here. We long to be somewhere else. But while we're here, we have his joy and his peace, okay? But we're unsettled. I don't know how else to say it. I know I've said it like 5 times, so I'll shut up. But just be excited. We're leaving, okay? And with that, I think, Keith, you should give us some of the news that is proof, okay? So you have God himself telling you you're leaving, and you've got the Bible telling you, but you also have the news. So maybe Keith wants to tell us some news today that proves we're leaving.
Yes. Okay, let me get my computer here.
Rhea in the chat room said, God told me today we're leaving, and he keeps confirming it. And Katie said, does everyone else feel his spirit really strong all the time? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You.
Oh, yeah.
That's increasing. You know, he's giving us each other to encourage. He knew that we'd be so rapture-centric, we'd need to talk. And, yeah, so.
Okay, so the news, at least 50 people killed at Somalia militants target the hotels. I guess in Somalia, the militants are targeting the bank and the people. 275 U.S. troops are heading to Iraq. Oh, boy. You know, that it just goes to show that our president doesn't know what he's doing and is the Antichrist, because we spent trillions of dollars in Iraq and did nothing there, lost a lot of lives, and now we're going back. I mean, going back is almost just like a, okay, we screwed up, now we're going back. It shows that we didn't accomplish what we were there for, which was crazy. But you can see what's happening is God told me that normally the troops will show up in Syria, and then everybody goes home, and then they show up and everybody goes home. The Lord told me this time, he's been telling me every day the last couple of days, that the troops are not going home this time. It's not going to, like, you'll notice, like, with the rapture thing the last 3 years, we had real hot spells, and then it would cool down. Hot spells, and then it would cool down. The Lord told me the troops are not leaving. They're going to stay there because they're there for the Psalm 83 war, and that's going to happen. So they're going to move into place, and the Psalm 83 war is going to happen. That's why we are in the Gog Magog with Israel, Tech, and Iran. So this is all the buildup for us to depart. Black flag of jihad will fly over London. Okay, I don't know what that's about. Whooping cough is officially an epidemic in California. Well, it may be an epidemic, but it does not touch any believers in God, because we are not touched by that anyway, so it really is irrelevant. John Kerry announces the United States could partner with Iran and Iraq. See, I knew it. I was telling people that, and they were blowing me off. I said, watch, we're going to partner with Iran. It's totally crazy, because, you know, the biggest problem is that Iran and Iraq both had a lot of oil, and they used all their oil and sold all of it, and they used all that money, which is billions of dollars, and they fought each other. They bought all weapons, and they fought each other, and it went on for 1,000 years. But then the U.S. got involved, and we decided to take out Iraq, so then we left Iran alone to gain all this power. And in the meantime, we put our soldiers in the crossfire of Iraq. So we did the worst thing in the world by getting in the middle of that. But now we're going to partner up with Iran to use their, their flying space or something like that, because they're against Iraq too. It's craziness. But there is a verse in the Bible, believe it or not. I have no idea where it's at. Usually I can find these verses, but I don't know enough words of it to Google it. But there is a verse in the Bible that says that where 1 minute you'll be friends with people and the next minute your enemy will become your friend. 1 minute they're your enemy, next minute they're your friend. It's like, you know, we fight Al-Qaeda and then we go into Syria and we give them weapons to fight Syria, you know, it's the rebel, whatever, you know what I mean? It's crazy stuff. So, yeah, there's a verse in the Bible that says that, and that's part of the end time prophecies. 1 minute we're friends with someone, next minute we're enemies. Like, then we're friends again. Go figure. Twin tornadoes blast Nebraska. if your child told you he was gay, what would you do? Okay, well, you know, we do the best we can. We leave everything up to the Lord. Rampaging jihadists kill dozens in Kenya. Okay, that sounds crazy. Total debt in America hits a new record high of nearly $60 trillion. This is where our government, America, is screwed up. You know, the government is supposed to do, the government of any country does two things. And America is supposed to do two things. It's supposed to protect your, it's supposed to collect the taxes, and it's supposed to be your military to protect the country from other countries. I mean, we live our daily lives. Our government is supposed to protect us from other countries hitting us. And it's also supposed to help our infrastructure with those taxes, the bridges and all the things. Well, they didn't do anything about the infrastructure, and then we spent trillions in war. So we went way overboard, spent all the taxpayer money, and then went into more debt. No wonder why America's going to fall. $60 trillion. Basically, it's like having a credit card, and you can't afford the payments anymore. We can't afford the payments anymore. That's when you collapse. You can't even afford the minimum payment. That's where America's at right now.
Egypt's new government calls for anti-Christian measures. the shaking before the awakening. Okay. We're on the verge of the greatest transfer of wealth in history. Okay. Our grandparents' generation is transferring their money because they were, you know, they were rich. They got invested in the stock market. It went up. Invested in the real estate market. It went up. Everything went up, up, up. Well, they're dying. They're giving the money to the baby boomers. So the greatest wealth transfer is going to occur. So that'll be interesting. But I don't know. I don't know if the baby boomers are going to pass it on. I doubt it. U.S. warships arrive in Gulf with Marines and aircraft. Okay. Robotic doctors in the future, online lawyers, and automated architects. The future of the professionals. Yeah, basically, the world would just annihilate itself because they would have, right now we've got all these people and all the manufacturing jobs are gone, which was the stability. It takes the most resources to build a home. That's number one. Number two is to build a car. So you're building lots of homes and lots of cars. You've got a driven economy that's using all its resources, and including labor and everything. It's wonderful. But now we've got these things where, you know, we've got robots building all the factories, doing everything. So we've got nobody really doing anything. And the robots, people are just working at Starbucks. And the service, it doesn't do anything for society. It doesn't, it helps society, but it does not drive it. These people should be paying so much, should be paid so much more money to where they can make a buy a home and have a professional life and, you know, do what they need to do, not get paid such a low wage. And that's where we're, and they're saying this article is that the future is going to be robot, more robots for doctors and lawyers and all that. So it's even worse. Thousands of people, oh, this is really crazy. The Obamacare, which is just a laughing joke, the whole Obamacare, I'm sorry, it's a joke. If you look at the you know, financials of the whole Obamacare thing, which is what I look at, it's scary. It's going to bankrupt America and real fast. But now the government is saying that the applications that people submitted, which included their life story, you know, Social Security and all your information, the government is saying it does not match their files of what they have on the people. So they are calling these people, harassing them, and demanding that they send tax forms and old tax forms and, I mean, just stuff from their past with all this data so that they can make sure they have all the information on them. It's driving people crazy. It's such a mess, the whole thing. The earthquake swarm continues to shake the Arctic. Okay, the northwest. Here we go. Two earthquakes strike off the coast near Fukushima. Watch out. Watch out, watch out, watch out. That's crazy because any little thing is going to make Fukushima go off like a huge nuclear explosion. There's five active volcanoes in Alaska right now. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's crazy. Obama's heading to attend the gay and lesbian New York City gala. Okay. Pelosi, we'll skip that one. Oh, Ukraine. The Moscow-Ukraine crisis. Kyiv faces halt to gas supply. Moscow basically is trying to cut back, or they are, they're cutting back the gas to the Ukraine and to Europe because they're saying they didn't pay their bill. And then the U.S. wants to pay $1 billion to pay the bill. Like, we even have the money. Crazy. We don't even have that money. We're just, it's really crazy. Let's see, here's an article. Islamic, okay, what is happening right now? Iraq could be a major prophetic trigger. Yeah, Iraq could set off the whole major signs of becoming Islamic Mahdi, or what the Bible calls the Antichrist, is emerging before our eyes. Gay Pride Festival bans the National Guard from setting up a booth there. Islamic militants slaughter dozens of Iraqi soldiers in mass graves. United Methodists should split over same-sex marriage. This article is funny. It shows a bunch of piranhas and evil. And it says, discover how an epidemic of cannibalism has broke out in the churches all over the nation. Basically, they're saying that people in the churches are backbiting and devouring one another like demons out for flesh. It's crazy, but it's true. I'm laughing, but it's not a laughing matter. The churches, like, they hate each other. It's crazy. Israel is building an all-drone army, which is brilliant. Boy, I would have had drones 1,000 years ago. Little baby drones, too. They have little, like, mosquito ones and all kinds of things that go everywhere. Iran warns against military intervention in Iraq. That's crazy. U.S. is getting rid of the Baghdad embassy because ISIS, which is that militant group, is overrunning the towns. Obama approved Iran's move into Iraq. Of course he did, because he knows they're against Iraq. And the Supreme Court has 17 cases to decide. Between 50 and 100 U.S. Marines arrived at the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad. a Northwest Iraqi city, Tal Afar, has fallen to the ISIS militants. And that's the news. So you can just see there's some, these soldiers are all going into the Middle East, and it's all ramping up right now, and it's a hot spot because we are going home. So be rapture ready.
Chief, on all this stuff going on in Iran and Iraq, excuse me, hold on. There is no way to tell the players anymore. And and I think that's on purpose, because I think to some degree all these things that are going on over there are just an excuse to collect more and more warriors. I just saw something today, learned something today about that area. There's a term that's been used since the late 1400s in English for the Middle East, and in particular Iran, Iraq, and they call it the Levant, which is from a French word. It means the rising, and what it really refers to is the East or the Orient. It's exactly the same meaning as that verse in Revelation 16 we looked at a couple of weeks ago, where it's variously interpreted as, you know, from the land of the east, land of the sun rising, and so on. It means exactly what is in Scripture in Revelation 16 regarding the forces that come across the Euphrates. And I just saw that today, and this term is in wide use today in the region. And it's basically all the nations except perhaps Saudi Arabia that surround Israel. And so anyway, this term Levant basically means east or rising, depending on which variation you want to accept. But it could well be that the verse in Scripture that where people would say, well, you know, it's going to be the forces from China or what have you. Well, it might be. It could be the Russians or whatever. But we're seeing right now the collection of several armies and an excuse to do it right now in Iraq. And it matches up exactly with this notion that they can cross the Euphrates and essentially all surround Israel. So this whole war thing with ISIS and whatever, it's so hard to tell the players. And, you know, that the Middle East has always been a little bit that way. But I'm wondering if some of it is just a put-up deal to create an excuse to collect all these things and sort of try to fool everybody that, yeah, we've got this giant conflict going on in Iraq, when all the while what they're really doing is collecting more and more forces that at some particular moment might actually turn on Israel.
True.
Oh, yeah.
That's absolutely astounding. Tell us more.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
so,
Shauna.
It wasn't going to be on. It was some of the news. Some break. 5.7 earthquake in Alaska. 5.7 earthquake in Ecuador, and another today, and another like a 4.something somewhere else.
Yeah, there were several in the far north on the planet. I noticed today the ones you're mentioning. I mentioned, I guess it was yesterday, the three yeshiva boys that have been kidnapped over in Israel, and it does look like that is going to become a much bigger story because Israel is very aggressively trying to find them, and it is very quickly putting all of the different underground alliances to the test that exist around Israel and the Egyptians and then the terrorist organizations, which are proxies mostly for the Iranians, but also a few of them are very involved with the Saudis. And it's going to be, that looks like they're going to aggressively pursue those boys. And if they do, there's going to be a lot of it may trigger the use of a lot of the other weaponry that's been stored in that area to create trouble for Israel. Now, I had...
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, okay. I got a personal word yesterday. He just said to go write something down, so I did. And it's mostly personal, but we were talking about the waiting and how unusual it is to feel just not at all at home here and not interested in the things of the world. And a couple of things in it that he said to me were rejoice in his coming, but also in the waiting, which he said was my waiting. And I was seeing in chat, Judy, you were describing some of this and how he was helping you understand it. And it's the exact phrase he used to me yesterday was my waiting. And then later on he said, to allow me this joy in your struggle. So he really is taking joy in this peculiar circumstance that we find ourselves in, where we're really valuing and yearning much more for the things of heaven and seeing and feeling much less attraction to the things of the world. And it supplies him a joy because we are working through it, and he definitely takes joy in the fact that we are focused on him, but going through this uncomfortable period. So I think I saw Judy said that, you know, it's from him. And this completely supports that. It really is from him. And so, you know, don't feel like he's not with you or you're not doing what he wants you to do if you feel like you're in a little bit of a struggle or what have you, because he's allowing these things, and it gives him joy, and it's part of his plan. And another aspect of what was in this personal word for me was that he really said that there's only a few steps left. We are very close, and we are leaving soon, and there are very few fairly predictable or understandable steps, and to not, well, he didn't really say not lose heart, because that wasn't what it was about, but don't lose heart, because it absolutely is part of his plan and totally something that he's getting value out of. So you're blessing God by embracing this condition and seeking him, and you're energizing the forces of heaven by your struggle and also by your faith. So it has value. Don't feel like it doesn't have value, because it absolutely does have value. And you are creating smiles in heaven by pursuing and persevering through these struggles and just this weird, uncomfortable thing we have where we just don't feel like we ought to be here anymore. So,
yep. He created this rapture-centric condition. He knew the symptoms were going to get really bad right before he got here. So he created a church where we could fellowship and encourage one another, you know, so that you don't think, you know, you're nuts or you're going crazy or you're the only one feeling that way. It's so comforting. I mean, it's so comforting that the Lord, he like Jerry was saying, you know, and this is why I call God shady. I mean, it's shady, okay? I'm like, just
yeah.
Come get it, okay? But God has his purpose. He's coming, okay? He is. But he has his purpose. You know, why we woke up here today, there's a purpose, okay? And it's not just for us to feel miserable and if not a part of this place. There's something he's doing, and as long as we hang on, and, you know, he's coming. But, you know, that said, the miserable condition, he's giving us a state of, you know, dissatisfaction and misery for being here. But he also, at the same time, am I right, Jerry, is he not filling you with his joy and his peace and his stability? Is he not doing that at the same time?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost awkward. A biblical word, but abundantly. And, you know, I have really, ever since we talked about Pentecost. I've just had a really powerful, strong joy and faith, and it's been absolutely from him. And I can, one way I would describe it is, even though I know there's some bumps in the road out ahead of me, the joy and the energy that he has put in me, it's as if I can see over all of them. And it's, it's absolutely real, and it's not diminishing. And it's supernatural confidence, if you will. So even though we have discussions about things, and quite frankly, I check up on myself. Even though I don't feel badly about it, I still ask questions. I want to know, I'm trying to talk to him as much as I can and really grow that way. And he's giving me answers. He keeps giving me consistent answers, and they're encouragement. And there's really nothing discouraging about them, even though we can see or feel discouragement, directly in our lives. Honestly, what he's put in me I don't want to overstate it, but it doesn't feel challengeable. It really doesn't. I think it's just a super strong faith, but he met me when I challenged myself, and there's no doubt about it. So I have a very, very strong sense of joy and confidence, even though there are things that there's going to be questions about, and from one day to the next, life presents its challenges. But he's really there. He's super powerful, and I would also say, these miracles and these wonderful blessings that have been shared between us, that we see Nick having and Mike Pate and others, and when we start getting very similar words on the same day without having any communication with each other. Those are tremendously powerful signs from him to really, really embrace what we have going as a group, but also that he is there for all of us. And he's there with everybody, but not everyone is opening the door or confident or, people are self-conscious. And that keeps people sometimes from reaching out to him and taking a few steps in faith, but just try, because he's there already. You just have to open the door for him, and we've seen this in so many ways. So don't forget to revisit your former blessings, because they're encouragements and there are signs to you in your walk that he will respond, and he is already there, and he knows the problem that you're going to have. So just continue to pursue him. And, if you ask him the same question 5 times and you're not sure what the answer is, or just keep working on it. Or maybe there's something else that you should really be talking to him about. But I keep getting this, I'm a jackass. I keep asking the same questions over and over sometimes. And I keep getting the same answers, and I have no discouragement whatsoever in that regard, none at all.
This is what he told our family, and this is Nick is a new believer. He's on the line, and he texted me. He just said, "Do you think God is making us wait and wait and setting dates in our minds and watching them pass is testing those with the strongest faith, seeing who won't give up on him?" I'm sure that's part of it, Nick. I've had all kinds of ideas why he's doing it this way. He told us 2 things. He told that he's separating the wheat from the tares, in these dates that he's setting. And what was the other one? Oh, he's beckoning the bride. He's putting her on the edge of her seat, when he gives people dates, credible people that have these dates that everyone looks forward to, okay? But he's doing it with so many people now. And here's what the last word that he told my son and I. This is the way that God is doing it, okay? And he said, "Thank you for believing still, though you have not seen me. I am coming. Thank you that you believe." He said, "You will understand all in a blink of an eye." So we don't understand why God's doing it. It seems shady to me. When I understand it in the glory, I'm not going to think it's shady. But because I live on earth, we joke around with him. You know, because on earth, according to our perspective, it's kind of shady. You know, you're telling people you're coming on a certain day and then you don't come, right? We see it as he's playing a game or he's lying, okay? But the Lord said he's doing it for his purpose and his glory, so we don't understand it. But if you read your most of the things done in faith were not wacky, the things that God had people do, you guys. They were not normal, but everybody wants some normal-looking Christian, and they really aren't in the Bible. So why would you expect at the end of time that everything's going to look normal and understandable? We don't understand it. I don't understand it, but God told me, he said, you're going to understand it all in a blink of an eye why he did it this way, okay? But he's going to continue to send dates, and he's going to continue to tell us that the rapture is today. He's done it for 4 months now, but he is coming. He doesn't play games. He's not lying to people, but he, people are calling them high watch dates right now. That's a big word. It's a high watch date, you know, because they're afraid of quote-unquote date setting. They don't want to call it for what it is because they're afraid of mean Christians who are rude to people and tell them, you're a liar, you're hearing from a demon, God wouldn't do that. Well, God is working in a really shady way, in my opinion, and I tell him every day. I'm like, today I said, this is so shady that you're making me so bipolar, you know. I said, you know, I'm trying to have fun with the kids, but I feel like a zombie, you know, so I'm going through the motions and I'm doing all this stuff and it's fun, but it's not, you know. So, you know, yeah. Thank you, Jerry, for sharing. But we're going to understand it all in the blink of an eye. And Nick, I really like what you said in this text. You're on the line, right, Nick? You're still there? You still there, buddy?
Yep, I'm here.
I just like what you said because, yes, it is fleshing out. Are we going to accuse God? Like, I was offended. You know, you see, are we going to accuse God when we don't understand his ways? See, he's trying to find if a bride really loves him, you know? I mean, this is what I'm saying from my earthly perspective. I have ideas of why he's doing it this way, but personally, I don't understand it all. I don't, and I don't know anyone who does. But the thing is, he is coming. But, you know, God told me that people just want to marry him for his benefit, okay? And the benefit plan for following the Lord is amazing. Talk about a benefit plan. I mean, come on. You know the benefits of serving the Lord? And going, you know, I mean, look at them. We get eternity, okay? We're leaving this filthy earth, you know, that's gotten so disgusting. So, but the thing is, God's not going to marry someone who's just going to marry us for benefit. Will, but you're not going to what? Lover, he said, I'm not a foolish lover. He said, I think they're going, aren't going, because I know their hearts. They want to marry me for my benefit. They want to be spared from trouble, but they don't really want to be with me. They don't really love me. I'm taking a bride that loves me. Now, don't you guys think in the last, you know, however long you've been waiting, our family's been waiting 7 months, okay? Do you think your love walk has been refined? Yes or no? Come on, be honest. Has it?
No doubt. Okay, absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Big, huge.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I started off superficial.
Right.
I started off superficial when I first joined RCC and didn't realize that God was talking to me 24/7 until you kept reiterating and Luke, and you know everyone, and then I, you know, started realizing, oh, I can hear him. He's talking to me, and so now now I don't have that superficial relationship anymore. I'm definitely more refined.
Amen. Yeah, that's so cool. That's so right, Tana. And I mean, we're on. You guys, he's getting us into a position by us having to wait this long, to where we cannot. And we cannot wait to see him. And he told me he's purifying his bride. That's what he told me. He goes, we're being purified in the waiting. Our motives are being purified. I don't want to find out that I didn't get to go to the wedding because my motives weren't right. You know, that's horrible. But the thing is, you guys, he's doing it. He's doing it. Okay, he's doing it. Don't worry. Don't be afraid you're not going, okay? You accept the Lord. You know, I did a stupid. If my motives are more for your benefit, call me out. I want to prove it, okay? And then those are what's really purifying your love. You know, are you going to get all offended at God because everything's falling apart? Nick could have done that. It was horrible, okay? It was horrible. And he could have accused God and said, I'm done with this. I'm going to go back to life.
Judy, you're cutting out.
Yeah, big time.
You could have done that, right, Nick? You could have just walked away. Because Nick,
I didn't really hear what you were saying. Huh? I'm sorry.
Well, basically, Nick, you were telling me you had a huge trial where you thought maybe God was mad at you and was like, because everything was falling apart. You're like, gosh, I came to the Lord and everything fell apart. Okay, so can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Now.
So okay, when that happened, Nick's love walk was purified. See, because I was talking to him on the phone that day, and it would have been much easier to go back into his old life and have his needs met than follow God. Because the minute he followed God, you guys, everything fell apart in his life. He lost everything, okay? So he's like, gosh, is God mad at me? Is he punishing me? And I'm like, no, Nick, he's not. He's pure, you know, he's loves you. He's good. Don't believe that. And then, so Nick made a choice, you know, his trial. Do you feel like God purified your love for him in your trial, Nick?
Oh, 100%. Just in the fact in the first part of, you know, that whole situation where, you know, I was freaking out. I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? And, you know, everything seemed to come out all right. And then all of a sudden, in a way, it got even worse. And it taught me to sit back, take a deep breath, trust in God, pray, and know that the best, whatever is the best for me is what's going to happen, and look what happened.
And see, now, not only did this trial purify your love for God, Nick, you also saw that God was going to come through, but the devil wanted you to accuse God. The devil wanted you to say, man, I should just go back to my old way of life, you know, this isn't working, and God's not with me.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that was in my head, you know. Oh, Nick, you can go back. You can start, you know, making the money the way you used to, and everything will go, everything will be fine again. Everything's fine. And I had to fight it, you know what I mean? And not only did I fight it, but I was able to fight it in an extremely peaceful manner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, amen. You chose God. You turned back to God. You're like, nope, God supplies my needs. Amen. And look what God, look what, you know, he did. Praise the Lord. Definitely. Amen.
Right. Yep.
It was nothing short of a miracle. That's exactly what it was.
And God, God was setting up through Nick's trial. God was setting up the biggest blessing he was going to get before he left Earth. Was God wanted him to show Nick, look how much I can do for you. Look what I can do. And see, but there was a setup. See, Nick had a choice to believe in faith or to give up and walk away. That was a purification, and Nick made it. He survived that trial, and he's better for it. See, so that's why I'm telling you, if you're in a trial right now and you're thinking that God left you, I mean, he is purifying all of us. I quit my job 7 months ago, you guys. I shouldn't even have any money in my account. I'm a teacher, okay, and I'm a single mom because God took my son's dad, okay? He got translated. And I could sit here and get offended and go, God, why haven't you come? I have done that, okay? But the trial of waiting has purified me. And I'm watching God right now do miraculous provisions for me. Miraculous, you guys. Miraculous provisions for our daily bread. Okay? Because I'm not working. Okay? I didn't win the lottery. You know? And see, so none of us, we're all being tested and tried. But the thing is, are we going to accuse God? Or are we going to say, God, you're good. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't, you know, but you're good, and I love you, and I trust you. See, it's a good position to be in, you guys. It is a great position to be tested and tried. But see, the Lord is good. He's not going to sit there and leave you in that condition for, like, ever. Like, he already met my need. He's not going to keep me. See, Nick didn't have to live in that tent for very long, huh, Nick? God came and met his need, okay? So what I'm saying is, you're not going to be miserable till he gets here. You're going to get your breakthrough, okay? Every day we have to wait here. Your trial is given to purify you. When you work with the program, you get out of your trials really quick, I'm telling you. And then you'll have the next one. See, because I learned years ago when I used to fight God and get offended and mad at him, you know, it left me in my trials longer. But if I cooperate with God and learn what he's trying to get me to learn, boom. These trials are our blessings. They're a disguise. And see, the devil is accusing God right now. He's saying, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's what the devil's saying. These people don't want to marry you, God. They don't love you. They just want to get out of this earth because their life sucks, okay? And they're losers. So they don't really love you. Watch. Mess up their little world, and they won't want to get married to you. So I'm sure that the Lord is accusing God right now of the true bride. If they don't really love you, watch. Make something hard in their life. Watch. They're going to say what a jerk you are, and they're going to walk away from you. And we're not, you guys. We're not. Trials are coming, and we're winning them one at a time because we know that our accuser is going before God, and we're saying, no, God, Jesus, we love you no matter what happens. We will never, you know, we will never deny you, Lord. You are good. We will never deny you, Father. We are
Amen.
A warrior bride, and we love
Amen.
You. We don't just love you. We don't just love you for your benefits, okay? They're wonderful. But we love you because you first loved us, Lord. You first loved us. And it's the least we can do to offer our groom a present. It's our present to him, to not give up on him if we wait. It's our present. We're saying, screw you, Satan. You liar. You lost, okay? And we love our Jesus. And our Jesus can take another week if he needs to. He told us to believe it today. But we're not going to ever give up on him because, you guys, we're proving our love to him by staying a positive, happy bride, see? By not complaining and saying, you know, but by just saying, God, we don't understand, but we know you're good and we know you're coming and we know that these dates, one of these dates is not going to come and go. One of these dates that you give us, in addition to today, we are going to be in the air. And do you know how happy that makes God? You know how happy he is when he finds faith? You know how happy he is, you guys? I mean, really, I just, he loves us so much. And, you know, it's the least we can do because in a blink of an eye, you guys, he told me, he said, in a blink of an eye, all of our dreams are going to come true, okay? And that's what I'm doing while I'm waiting here, okay? I'm like, God, it's okay. Do what you have to do because I know what awaits me, you know? But see, you guys, what we don't understand is, see, God, he has to judge the entire planet. This is really hard for him. He told me back in December, this is harder than going to the cross. He said, this is harder for me than when I went to the cross because the creation that I love and that I made to love me back is rejecting me, and it hurts him. He doesn't want to kill the Satanist. He doesn't want this, you guys. He wants people to call out to him and be saved, and they're going to do it, okay? But can you blame God for taking his time on this tribulation? I mean, come on, this is hard. And he told me that rapture-centric church was giving him courage. He said, this body of believers that loves me and loves one another makes my heart happy. It's giving him courage to do what he needs to do because, see, we think he's God and he has it all, and he does. But he told me, he said, I don't get everything I want, and I'm God. I don't get everyone that I created. Some are going to hell, and that makes him sad. And, see, we're making his heart glad because we believe in him, and we're praying prayers, and we're going to come back, some of us. Is the 144, and we're going to come and we're going to help him, you know, reap the final harvest in the tribulation that is designed as God's mercy to finally get people to call out to him. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Well,
praise Jesus.
Yeah, you know, I'm my car is, you know, the evil ones, the devil's trying to, like, work me through my car, you know, it's, like, frisk me down, but, you know, I trust in the Lord. You know, I know he's going to fix it, and I asked him, are you trying to tell me to get a new car, or are you going to fix this one? And he's like, no, you know, you're having this car that you have, and you're not going to have it for much longer, and that you're going to get your new car in heaven, is what he told me.
Wow.
So he's going to, yeah. You know, I turn to him all the time, and that's what he wants us to do. You know, God wants us to turn to him during our trials. So I'm having faith that my car is going to be fixed, and I don't care, you know, that each devil can throw all he wants at me, but my car is going to keep on getting fixed, and or Jesus is going to heal it miraculously, and, you know, I'm going to be out of here before I even have to deal with anything else, so, and I'm going to have my new car in heaven. He said I'll have my fourth car in heaven that I've always wanted.
Such a testimony because Tana and I were in chat and I was praying the Lord would do a miracle on her car. And then now look what he told her. See, I mean, you guys, he's so good. For every trial that comes, the devil is accusing God. And let's not line up with Tana could have accused and said, God, why aren't you? But instead she went to him and he told her what he's going to do. see her car is going to be fixed. She's getting a new car. New car's in heaven. And my son saw cars in heaven. He saw Katie's mansion, and at Katie's mansion, he saw 50 horses parked outside her castle, and he saw 50 cars. You guys, Katie had 50 cars, Tana. And I'm telling you, you're a princess, King Tana. And I'm not joking. This is when the spirit was really heavy on my son, and he was having visions every day, okay? And that's a true vision. We are going to get it all back and then some. Tana's going to have, you know, a lot of cars, okay? But for now, she's trusting God in this trial. And I want to tell you, you guys, usually in the summertime, you know, I'm not working and I'm able to treat kids because I have, you know, I have money because I was working. But see, I wasn't working for 7 months. And so money's tight, right? But the Lord blessed me so that I can continue to bless my son and other kids, okay? And that is just a miraculous provision. I was getting kind of depressed because I was like, Lord, I want to take the kids out to get milkshakes and french fries. And you know what I'm saying, you guys? You get it, right? And the kids are used to me being able to spend money on them because that's what I do. Instead of buying a house and doing all the things the world said I should do, I made a choice years ago that I was going to, you know, live with the money I earned and not buy a house. And I was always criticized in my family for it. But I'm glad I made that decision because I've always been able to live life. Well, I was kind of depressed, okay, a couple weeks ago. I'm like, Lord, summer's coming, the kids are going to be here, and I don't have anything. Like, I can't, like, take them out. What, you know? I don't even have a car. But my sister's so generous when she's at work, and she works from, like, 9 to 9 at night. So that gives us the whole day if we're going to go out of town to go to, like, Water World and Six Flags, or we get home late. And he's been blessing me with little miraculous provisions here and there. I mean, not a ton, but enough for me to take the kids out. And he's like, he even told me, he said, go out to eat. I was like, Lord, I shouldn't. There's no money. He's like, do it, okay? And I obeyed him, and I treated, and then I got blessed for it. I got a return on what I spent. And I'm like, wow, Lord, you can't make this stuff up. So you guys, you know what? For every opportunity until he gets here, you have to accuse God and complain. You know, go ahead and gripe, because I was like, Lord, what am I going to do? There's no, and he provided. See, you go ahead and tell him your stress, you tell him what you're facing, and then say, but Lord, I trust you, and you're good, and I'm going to believe you that I can, you know, do what I need to do until you get here. And amen.
Like, my homeowners association just threw all of us homeowners, there are 14 units, and we all have to pay $4,100 for a new roof, and we have to pay it July 1st. Now, on a waitress salary, I don't have that money. So I gave it to the Lord, and I know he's going to either take me or provide me that money, whether, you know, be payments on a credit card or whatever. He's going to provide it for me. I just gave it to him. I can't stress about it. I can't worry about it. I'm giving it to God.
You know,
amen. Yeah. Amen, Tana. And we're standing with you, Tana. I'm totally standing with you on that.
Amen, Tana. Absolutely. We know he's, you know, we have the ultimate victory. He's made it available to us. The only victory in the only conflict that matters is whether we can be with him. And the people who would run the world, the reason they have power and the reason they have money is they create situations where they know what the outcome is going to be ahead of time. There's no gambling for them. They set it up to begin with. Well, God set up the ultimate conflict and the ultimate battle and the ultimate decision, and he's already won the victory, and we just have to agree with him in his victory to be a part of it. That's what this is all about. This is the ultimate setup. The job's already done. The victory's already had, and that's why we don't want to buy into this Satan's victory and his criticism and all that, because it's not real. What's real is our salvation in him. And, you know, it's a complete setup. And so you just have to agree with it. So we have that victory already. You know, just what, June 6th was the anniversary of the D-Day invasion. And some of you aren't probably that familiar with it, but, you know, there was this giant invasion of Europe where the Allies, which was basically the United States and England and some smaller countries, had to re-invade Europe that the Germans had control of. Well, the most important thing for that plan to work was that the Germans didn't know when and where they were going to attack. So everything we do, all our date setting, all the words we get, and all the shadiness that we get from Jesus, a lot of it is to throw the enemy off. And we're good soldiers because there were a lot of soldiers and a lot of people who gave their lives to misdirect what the Allies' plans really were. And so if we have to go out there and go a little out of our way and distract the enemy while God's plans march forward, then let's do it. You know, let's pick it up. Let's go, because the victory is already ours. We already know. So rejoice in the victory and rejoice in the work that he gives us and trust us for the outcome, because he's already won.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. He's purifying us through our trials, purifying our love for him. He's finding a bride that loves him for who he is, not just for his benefits. I can honestly say that, you know. And he's refining us. He's wonderful. 614, is that you, Chris Slaughter?
Hi, Judy.
Hi,
everybody.
Hi,
I'm just
singing. Go ahead, Chris. We're so glad you called.
Yeah, I'm just listening. Keep talking.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, well, I won't mute you, but you mute yourself if you need to, okay, in case you want to jump in.
Okay.
Unless you want me to mute you, then I will. But, yeah, so let's have a song, you guys. Should we have a little worship song, and then we'll share some more?
That'd be great.
Okay, and so just so everybody knows, now that we have Rapture-Centric 101 at night, now that's our only service, we are, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be here, okay? So we're loosely planning this, but Tana can only do Sunday nights. We're hosting on Sunday nights. We'll be hosting on Tuesday nights. Now the rest of the week, me, Jerry, and Joe, and Michelle will be doing it, okay? So whenever we log on in the chat room, 101, you just might want to ask, who is it? Like, for me, it's Judy. I'm Carol, if we're here, okay? So I just wanted to announce that. I don't know if I made that clear. And I'm still going to be at every show. I might be with a bunch of kids at a pool or something, but I'll call in, I'll be listening, and I'll always be in chat late in the evening. But summer's kind of crazy for me, so I'm glad we have all this help. And I'm glad if you want to be a bouncer in the Lord Jesus Christ Church, you know, go ahead and just inbox me. But, you know, we don't, like I said, this thing is closing down. We're leaving, okay? But really, it doesn't matter who's bouncing, because we're all one body, you know. Like, I'll be calling in, you know, when Carol's hosting it. We have the same purpose here. Jesus Christ is our pastor, and we are calling in and sharing what he's doing with us, each of us, until he gets here. It's not about the person who's hosting. It's really, God really wants people to share and talk. And but we, you know, if you call in regularly, that's so wonderful, because we get to, you know, we get to hear from you. So I'm going to play a song, and I just wanted to make that clear that there'll be different people. So, okay, so let's see. I'm going to play, hey, let's see, here we go. This is a good one. This is from Lala.
You're beautiful, you're beautiful. Through the light.
worshiping the Lord is a beautiful thing. And would anyone like to share? If not, I would like to read what people are saying in chat. Would anyone like to share right now?
I have one thing I wanted to say to Nick about his experience.
Yeah.
How compressed the timing was on his highs and his lows, and how dramatic they were, really speak to me about the nearness of the timing of everything. Because, you know, God will take his time when he has time, but the fact that he put Nick through such a compressed experience with these really strong highs and lows and challenges speaks to me of short timing.
Wow, that is a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing for me, actually, thinking about it, because yesterday I had my spark plugs changed in my car Saturday night, drove my car to church. It was ran like a charm, no engine light, perfect. Got home from church, it was fine, went to go to softball, and all of a sudden I had issues again. So, yeah, so another trial, but, you know, God is handling it again. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's shady, but he's also quick when he has to be.
Yeah. Rhea says, Jerry, I feel like a zip file. That's a really observant, that's a great observation, Jerry, really. Can you just kind of expound on it a little more here? Because that's great.
Well, it's such a process, our growth process with him and our walk with him. And you know, there have to be lows for there to be highs. It's like a mountain range. And, you know, we just, you know, we go through this process, and the lows, you know, cause us to reach out to him. It also really improves our focus because, you know, the more willing we are to seek him, the better we learn from him. And so this whole growth process in Nick's case, the high and the low and the accepting of him and all these things has been compressed and really exaggerated in such a short period of time. You know, it's like a movie. You know, our lives don't generally play out in movies because they take a long time, and movies generally aren't very, very realistic because of that. But Nick's experience really was a lot more like a movie where you know, he came to Christ, and then all of a sudden he's faced with all these challenges. And, you know, then he seeks and he learns and he applies himself. And then God comes through. You know, God joins him with – it's a great story, and it occurs. I'm sure it didn't feel like it was super quick at the time, but when you think about how dramatic it was, it actually occurred in a very short period of time. So this not just growth process – but by going through this, how much more reinforced is Nick's faith?
And, you know, you guys don't even know the half of it. I mean, three months ago, I had everything that a person could want. And I felt so empty and so purposeless and just so lonely. No matter what I purchased or what I did or where I traveled, I just felt like I didn't belong to anything and I didn't know who I was. And the transformation that I have gone through since I have become a part of this group is just life-changing and awe-inspiring. It's just amazing, and like you said, you know, it just goes to show you how close we are that this happened to me so quickly when my whole life, or at least a good portion of my life, since I haven't lived under my parents' roof, and I had no sense of who I was or a sense of belonging to anything or anything like that. And I have just transformed into such a happy, whole person. It's unbelievable. Yes, this one experience that I have shared with you seems like so much, but in the scheme of these 3 months, I have just gone through such a transformation, and it is just, it's just amazing. It really is.
All right, I've got to go. I've got to do my prayer meeting right now. I'm at it. So I just want to say love you, everybody.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Love you,
Keith.
Love you, Keith.
Can't wait to hear about it, either here or there.
Bye, Keith.
Love you. Bye.
Love you, too.
Bye.
Bye, love you. Hi, Hazel. Hey, Nick, I just want to thank you for sharing that because, I mean, you just can't state that enough. I mean, not only did Nick, is his whole life changed, but, like, Nick's story has impacted me greatly. You know, I mean, as much as, you know, like, Nick, you're a huge blessing here at RCC. Like, we needed you like you needed us. You know what I mean? And I think God is just wonderful. He just works in marvelous ways. So thank you, Jesus.
Pat, do you have anything that you could possibly read? I just love hearing you read things.
Pat,
I just want to say welcome. I wanted to welcome you formally. Sorry, there was so much conversation.
I have some troubles with my daughter, so I can't get on when I want to get on. I need to spend more time with her. My grandson and I really got after her today and got really upset with her, but then we hugged her and we said, don't mind that we're upset with you. We're trying to tell you because we love you. And it worked out, you know, pretty good. She's not right with her medicines or her diabetes or the smoking and attitudes. And even though you get cursed out and stuff like that, you still give a hug and you still tell them you love them, you know, because she's like a best friend to me. She really is. So the love overrides the situation. But I find that I have to spend more time with her, and also, as I said, when Laura comes home, I have to spend time with her, so I can be on like an hour, even a half hour, if I get it in, if I get some E&I to you guys, or just say hello, or I love you, you know, that's what it's going to be. Yeah. Did you say something about the morning show? Yeah.
Well, it's our last morning show, but we're always going to have the night show, but it means the world to us, even if you can just call in, you know.
Oh, I will. I'll always call in. Yeah. Yes. It might only be an hour or 45 minutes because I said to Jerry, I'll be off. And, like, I've been on since a quarter of. So I said to her, I'm only going to be on 45 minutes. So, and Jesus understood. He understood that it's very important to give that time to her and whatever. But I have plenty of time to read it, he and I, or tell you what's going on. I'd say I pray for the Midwest. They're having horrible tornadoes. Horrible. Nebraska and whatever. Yeah. So they're really in for it there. And they showed them on the ground, these violent tornadoes already all over the place. But I was going back to the warning. Keith had given me something, you know, maybe instead of he and I, because I know I don't want to spend too much time here, but he gave me this message from this lady. This is an awesome message. It's from her name is Lana Vosser. So if you want me to read this to you, I think you'll, yeah, okay. This is encouraging, guys. I saw many of the people of God being hit harder and harder with discouragement, and I saw the enemy trying to use unfavorable circumstances, amen, to swallow up the people of God in discouragement and depression and cause them to sit down. Now, this was on June 15th. Now is not the time to sit down. No matter what you are walking through, no matter what you are facing, now is not the time to sit down. It is time to stand up and praise. I saw the people of God begin to praise him despite their circumstances. The ground was shaking and discouragement was breaking. The Lord will lift you high above your circumstances as you continue to praise. No matter what, keep your praise on. No matter what, keep your heart towards him and your face as a flint. Keep your mouth open, singing praises to him. For as you praise him, he is lifting you up higher and higher into your place. Encounters with him bringing hope and a new scope. I saw specific encounters happening between the people of God and the Lord and him revealing himself as hope, as the hope and anchor of our lives. I saw him revealing himself as the victorious one who comes riding upon a horse in victory. I sense that even in storms, many are are walking through right now. He is coming to you as the Prince of Peace, riding on a horse in victory. He is going to lift you high above what you are walking. And I saw many of the people of God with their arms raised high to heaven, praising him in their storms and darkness as they did. The Lord came in his victory on a horse and grabbed their arms and placed them on the horse with him, and he rode with them above the storm, and they were seated in greater peace than they had ever experienced. As they rode with him, they saw greater things than they had seen before. Despite the heavy rain of opposition, discouragement, circumstances, grief, depression, the Lord lifted them up and saw further and wider than ever before they saw. Seeing from his perspective, greater scope was being released as they rode with him. The key was they were positioned in praise. Do not look at your circumstances right now. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your face toward him as a flint. Press in, for the circumstances many are walking are not going to hold you back as you praise him, but catapult you forward. I saw the people of God were positioned in praise. Not only was the Lord encountering them as their hope and comfort, but I saw a fire falling from heaven, and there was a purging taking place. This purging was so beautiful. This fire was so loving, and that it was shaping, molding, strengthening, empowering them for what the Lord was going to release them into. I saw the Lord encouraging them that it is always darkest before the dawn, but awaiting them were new shores, new opportunities, new areas of influence, new lands. No matter what you are walking through, the Lord is with you. He is your comfort. He is your hope. He is your molding, and he's molding you more into his image and preparing you for what is eminently arising as you praise him, increase in angelic activity. I also sense to encourage those who are walking through difficulties and storms that have suddenly appeared that the Lord has released greater angelic hosts to attend to you. You will see greater provision, greater breakthrough, greater revelation from these angelic hosts through this time. Those who feel like you have suddenly ended up in the wilderness, the ravens will attend to you like never before. They will attend to you, and you will see provision and encouragement of God through his messengers like never before. Provision will come from unexpected places and people. There will be an increase in entertaining angels. You are not alone. You, in fact, are going to get a greater glimpse into the activity of heaven through this storm as you see the Lord and his angelic host minister to you and prepare you for what is ahead. Keep your eyes on him. As you ride with him and see him more and more and your hope, he will broaden your scope. So that was the message.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow is right. Yeah, amen. We need that. We need that.
What we're discussing.
Yeah, we're all going through. I can see it. I look at the news and I see the weather and Iraq and everything else, and you start to get, I mean, we're human. We start to tense up a little bit, guys. I know I do, and I look at the Lord and I'm saying, you told us this was going to happen, and it's like, hang on and trust me. You know that these things are going to take place. Do not become discouraged. And that message was exactly what that was, to encourage us that I told you it was going to get a little rough, maybe a lot rough, but I've got you covered. So we have to hang on to that trust in God that he's always with us, and no matter what happens. And as I've said before, I find, and I'm sure many of you will agree, that Satan will use the ones around you to bring you down the fastest. The ones that you love and everything else, he will just have them throw everything at you. You got to put on Ephesians, and you got to trust the Lord, and you got to come back with love. Yes, you might have to say a few words or something. I mean, Keith and I went off today on her, but we got through to her. She just had to see that we gave a damn, that we cared for her, that no matter what, and I said, if we don't all work together, we're not going to make it. We have got to work together as a family, you know, of course, in the Lord Jesus, and it says if we don't, we're toast, you know. God's given us that ability to love, to care, to be thoughtful. You have two camps. You have Satan. You have God. Make your choice. And when you see this world, how could you not believe that there's a devil, and how could you not believe that there is a God of love? I mean, really, when you see the difference, oh, my goodness, how capable we are of loving, you know, and how capable we are of being so horrible without that love, without that Jesus in us, you know. So there's the fruit. Pick it and go your way.
I want to say something about Nick's story. You know, Nick, you were saying you could have gone back to the life, or you had the life where you had everything, could have bought anything you wanted, and how miserable you were because you didn't have the Lord in your life.
And now look how happy and just going, people that, you know, they're actors with lots of money and everything they ever wanted, committing suicide all the time because they don't have the Lord in their life. Jesus is the one that's going to make you happy. Father God is
right.
going to make you happy. No amount of money in the world is going to buy you happiness. No car is going to buy you happiness. No house is going to buy you happiness. Jesus in your heart and Jesus in
mm-hmm.
your life and Father God in your life, that's what's going to make you happy and that's what's going to bring you through. And you're going to have your treasures in heaven if you trust in the Lord. You know, you don't
Amen.
Need to trust on earth.
Amen.
You're going to have your
yes.
treasures in
Amen.
Heaven. All you need is love, in, you know, the love of the Lord in your life, and he will bring you people you need to meet and the provision you need.
Yeah,
to
look,
provide
he
for
gave
you.
Us
so,
each other. You know
yes.
what I mean? He gave us this wonderful group we have now.
Yes.
And that's all I need.
Yes.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yes, exactly. Yes. We encourage each other, and he encourages through each other. You know, this is so great, you know, so great. So,
and that thing that Mama Pat, yeah, the thing you're reading, Mama Pat, was so appropriate for it. Like we were just discussing, Nick was just telling his story. It's that thing, it's just so appropriate. Trust in me that you're going to have these trials, but if you trust in me, I will bring you people to provide you provision. I will bring you angels to help you. You
yes.
know, that is exactly
more angels.
What happened.
More angels are being released.
With Nick's
because,
story. That's, yeah, that
yeah,
happened with
you,
a lot of people's
yeah.
stories.
Oh,
the
yeah,
God of our
yeah,
provider.
Oh, yeah.
I supply
yeah.
all your needs according to the glory of riches in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:19.
Yes. And you're going to, kids, because I'm 71, I can call everybody kids, you're going to see more worldly stuff go nuts. And it's going to cause you, you're going to constantly remind yourself, Jesus said, oh boy, it's happening, and here's my strength. Because I felt that today with Iraq and everything else and things online. And it's like, it's okay to be informed and everything, but don't get crazy. Don't get crazy. Because it's going to increase. The Middle East is a powder keg. Poor Israel. We need to pray for
yep.
Israel that, you know, woo, you know, it's getting close. It's getting nasty out there, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it sure yeah. is. Now, you guys, let's do communion because somebody just sent me a text. We have 10 minutes left, and this
Go
could
ahead.
Be our last show, okay, because the rapture is today, and we believe it. Like a jackass, I believe it. And so we just,
yes.
we don't want to, we want to remember to have communion. So, Pat, since you're here, I was wondering, I'll do communion, but would you, after I'm done, would you like?
Go ahead.
Judy, you cut out.
She cut out. I don't know what she wants me to do. Reed, he and I are sing.
Probably sing.
Probably, okay. Yeah, sure, I'm glad to sing. Sure.
You know what, Pat? If you have
yeah.
something, you could sing right now because she says on chat that her phone just died.
Okay.
So,
okay, yeah.
Need to do. Do you want to, you know what?
Yeah, sure. I have plenty
of
stuff.
I'll do
yeah.
communion.
Okay, go ahead.
Nick, you want to do it? You did a great job yesterday, that, I think.
Yeah.
Go
I'll
ahead,
sing afterwards.
Nick.
We have time.
Okay. Nick?
Yes?
Okay.
Go ahead. You can do communion. I think you were saying you would do it.
Sure. The night before Jesus died on the cross, he gathered together with his disciples to eat. During the dinner, he reached across the table and grabbed a cup of wine and raised it above his head and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink. This represents my blood, which I will shed for you." After they drank, he reached across the table in the same motion and grabbed some bread. He took the bread, held above his head, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat. This represents my body." And I forgot. I'm sorry. I was reading it.
You're fine.
Last time. "Take this, all of you, and eat. This represents my body and the everlasting covenant." I apologize. I kind of messed that up.
That's
no,
okay.
That's all right.
The point
okay.
is we remember him if he asked us to.
Until he comes, yeah. Remember his death until he comes. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you.
You are worthy. I was going to say something about Jason and I were having a discussion in chat, and you know how we were talking, going back to the bowling day or like a feast day, how, you know, bowling day, I mean, feast days are in the Bible, or, and it just makes sense. God follows patterns. And it says no one knows the day or the hour. So if he's following a feast day, everyone knows what feast, what day the feast is on every year. And so everyone knows. So that's why the Gentile bride is going to be taken on an everyday bowling day, he and I were discussing. And then maybe the feast days are for, you know, his people Israel, following, because those are Israel's customs or Jewish people's customs. And maybe that Feast of Trumpets is for the Israelites being taken up and not us. So that was just, you know, because everyone knows when the feast days are. The enemy knows when the feast days are, and, he, you know, he can plan accordingly. So if he doesn't know, he's, like, wreaking havoc now because he has no idea. He could be, it's going to be today, but he, you know, he thinks it was yesterday. You know, he's been trying to screw this up for a long time because he has no idea what day it is. He's been trying, thinking it's been, like, going to be years ago. He's been trying and trying and trying, but, you know, he knows the signs are here. So.
Yep.
It'll be a bowling day.
Awesome. So, what's it, did we do communion already?
We did communion, but Pat hasn't sung yet.
Do you want me to redo it? I can redo it now that Judy's on. It's in front of me.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I want to hear you.
Okay. The night before Jesus died on the cross, he gathered together with his disciples to eat. During the feast, he reached across the table and grabbed a piece of bread and took a piece of bread, lifted above his head and broke it, and said, "Take this and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After this, in the same manner, he reached across the table and took a cup of wine, held it above his head, and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. And do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, and shew the Lord's death till he come, wheresoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of thy Lord.
Amen.
My face is dead, I need a the ground with the sound of revival. Let heaven roar and fire fall. Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
Love everybody.
Bye, Joe. Bye, Tana.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, honey.
Bye,
guys.
I love
you.
Love you.
Bye, Tana.
Bye, everyone. Love you all.
Love everybody.
Bye, Nick. Bye.
Hang in there.
We're glad you came with us, Leah.
Yay.
See ya.
Thank you, Leah.
Bye,
Leah.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, honey. Okay.
I'm ready to see you all in there. Oh, my goodness. 10 seconds left.
Pray for Italy.
Feeling
Italy's got that interrupting and flooding, terrible flooding, so pray for Italy.
Feeling
oh,
it.
It's everywhere. Okay. Love you guys. Come, Lord Jesus. Come get us.
Come, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, come get us. It's getting nuts out there.
Love you.
Okay, he's coming to the chat. If you're
we'll
bored,
talk to you tomorrow
bye
night.
Bye-bye,
love.